church is to win people to Christ and give them the life that God wants them to have. All right, and so I just want to thank God for that first. Okay, let's turn to the book of James. All right, book of James, chapter 1. Let's stand as we read verse 22 to 25. Today will be a simple message. Verse 22 to 25. James chapter 1, verse 22-25. I'll read the first verse, 22, and then you read the verse 23, then I'll read verse 24, and then we'll all read verse 25, okay? James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 23. Verse 24, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Verse 25. But whoso Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you, as we hear the lesson of the Apostle James, that tells us, be not hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. Father, we want to come before you, acknowledging, Lord, that you are going to teach us something today. That we might be doers of thy word, Lord, not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. Father, help us to esteem your word more than our necessary food. Father, help us to love thy word above all things, and that men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. For, so Lord, today, speak to us in a special way. No, thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Please be seated. James is a theologian, but he's more a practical guy. Okay? The book of James has been called by Martin Luther as a straw of an epistle. What is a straw? Straw is not your drinking straw. When you talk about the straw, it refers to the straw that the horses will eat. You know, like the grass, the hay. Okay, the straw. Martin Luther believes that the book of James is a book of straw because it's not strong. Because the Bible says, in the book of James, faith without works is dead. And Martin Luther, who believes, oh, no. You must only trust Jesus Christ for your salvation, which is true. But the Bible also talks about the fact that when you trust Christ as personal Savior, book of Romans, the judge shall live by faith. But it also says, if you are a Christian, you will have good works. Does that make sense? You will have good works. Just like Brother Robert is an architect, right? Yeah. So, Brother Robert says he's an architect. Shall we put him to the test? Okay, we put him to the test. Not here, lah. I will ask him to show me his drawings. You will be convinced he's an architect. Because he knows what he's doing. Does that make sense? How many of you think I'm a computer programmer? Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing? there are computer programmers laughing at me. I cannot be a programmer. Last night, I was doing some PowerPoint slides on Keynote, which is my... I had to ask my son, hey, how come I cannot do this? Then I said, Papa, I just press this one and click. You know, fathers, we get a bit irritated by our children who knows everything, right? No, just kidding. Sometimes we say, why, you know, well, we're old already, very hard to learn things. Our children come, say, no, you just press. Some two-year-olds know iPhones better than us. Huh? Okay? Well, this is a time... But you know, the book of James, if you say that you're a Christian, there will be works, okay? Now, in the book of James, James was very direct with the people. James is someone who doesn't try to beat about the bush. How many of you know of people that when you sit down and talk to them, if you want to talk about A, let's say you want to talk about letter A, they will talk about B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, Z, until Z. And then at the end of the whole thing, they haven't even talked about A yet. How many of you know that kind of people? Basically, they'll go around the whole world, and then at the end of 5 minutes, can you please get to the point? James is not like that. James will come straight to the point. And James will tell you, if you are a Christian, you have no works, your faith is dead. Okay, he will tell you straight. And so, in James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25, you will find that James gives the teaching very clearly, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James makes it very clear to you, don't just hear the word, make sure you do it. What is the outcome of a person who hear God's word but don't do it? What does James say they're doing? What does James say? They are bluffing themselves. They are bluffing themselves. You realize there are many people, so-called Christians, bluff themselves. They say they're Christians, but they don't do what the Bible says. When I was 11 years old, my mom actually encouraged me to go to work. So he got me a job at a place where they actually redo old furniture. Okay, they redo old furniture. And some of the furniture are antique. Some people, you know, they want to preserve their antique furniture. They were putting into this, not a factory, just a warehouse. I still remember it's at Tangling, you know, Tangling. There's this small little shop there. There were three workers and one boss. I was the smallest one. I was 11 years old. So basically, I don't have the skills, so he just allowed me to go there. And basically, I was a coffee boy. You know, I'll go and buy coffee and buy lunch and buy everything else for them. Of course, I try to do sandpaper, you know, that kind of thing. And so this guy, I think he's tall, a bit taller than Brother Robert, okay? A bit muscular because he always do carpentry, okay? And he actually say, he wanted kopi O, okay? Kopi O. Coffee black. He wanted coffee black. And so the other two wanted coffee. So I, being not a detailed person, I went, kopi sapao, you know, buy coffee 3 packet. So I brought back and gave to them. That guy, look at me, I asked for kopi O. I look at him, no, as an 11-year-old, telling this guy who's taller than me, no, you told me kopi. I said kopi O. No. Okay? Then he was quite nice. He didn't fight me. 1 week later, the other two person actually bought coffee again. This guy, I want Coke. Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola. Okay. Me, being not a detailed person, went and buy kopi sapao. I went to buy coffee 3 packet again. And then, I gave it to him. When I gave it to him, I look at him, he look at me. He was better looking than me. Then he said, what did he ask you to buy? Coke. Then he had this, you know, this, I win already, smile, you know. Yeah, I got you this time. And it was true. I was hearing, but I was doing something else. I still remember this because, you know, in that kind of situation, Jing Pai Se, you know, You insist that you were right the first time. And then this guy obviously was pretty wise, you know. This time I said, I want to test this more 11-year-old. I think he's so smart, right? I want Coke. And in the end, when I actually gave him the coffee, he has this smile. They said, see, I got you already. You know, the kind of smile. Have you had that smile before? You know, sometimes we hear, but are we listening carefully? We can hear a lot of things, but are we listening carefully? In verse 22, James say, be doers of the word. The word doers has to do with complying with the word. Complying with it. Being doers, be doers of the word, but not hearers only, bluffing your own self, deceiving your own self. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto the man beholding his natural face in a glass. In today's text, James uses the everyday event of using the mirror to illustrate two kinds of persons. We're going to talk about the two persons today. James uses mirror. Now, in our context today, before we go out of our house, we usually use a mirror, right? How many of you use a mirror before you go out of the house? Okay. Only some. Of course, you try to kind of look well. And you know, it's a good thing, you know, just in case, you know, sometimes you have your tie like that. Mirror will help you set things right, right? So that you won't look bad when you go out. You must understand, first century, mirror wasn't invented yet. So what they do, they use brass. They use metal. Okay, some metal can be a little bit reflective. Okay? But unlike the mirror today, you cannot really see clearly. So what must they do? They must actually really look until very close. Does that make sense? And so that is the mirror that James was talking about. Okay? James uses it to illustrate two types of person. Number one, the man who hears but does not do. I call it the Christian hearer. But James also illustrates the second type of person, the man who hears and does what he hears, the Christian doer. All right, so there's two persons today. If you look at verse 22 and 23, James sets the teaching, verse 23. He then goes on to use the illustration of a man beholding his natural face in the glass in verse 24 and 25. He then goes on to talk about the Christian hearer, verse 24, and the Christian doer, verse 25. Does that make sense? We want to look firstly at the characteristics of a Christian hearer. A characteristics of a Christian hearer. Okay? Now, the Bible says in verse 24, he says, "For he beholdeth himself." This is a Christian hearer. He beholdeth himself. The word beholdeth himself simply means in the Greek to intensively perceive. To intensively perceive. How many of you know of people when they do things, when you talk to them, they appear that they're not listening to you. There's some people who are so focused on the work. And the wallet is here. You take the wallet away, they also don't know. They are so intensively focused on what they are doing. That's what it means. He beholdeth himself. Apparently, James is referring to a Christian who is evidently faithfully reading the Bible and listening to messages. Because we know that's the Christian thing to do. It's a Christian thing to do, to listen to messages. It's a Christian thing to do, to read the Bible. The Bible says he's listening intensely to the Word of God. Now, in the book of John chapter 6, verse 25, let's turn there. John chapter 6, verse 25. There were many people during Jesus' day that was coming to hear the Word of God as well. John chapter 6 and verse 24. The Bible says, "When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there..." Now the background is Jesus has just fed them. Alright, Jesus just fed them. Alright, in the previous chapter. "When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping." They sat on the ship and they said unto... took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. "And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou thither?" That means, where did you come from? Verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." The Lord Jesus is actually highlighting one of the intentions of why people become Christians. I say again, in this verse, Jesus highlights to the people coming to him, "You are coming to be a Christian, not because of what I can do, but because something satisfied you." In other words, there is personal, selfish reasons for becoming Christians. Does it make sense? And notice what Jesus says in verse 20. "Labor not for the meat." Don't work for something that will perish. Don't put your life involved in something in this life that will perish at the end. "But for the meat," or for the satisfaction "which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of God shall give unto you." And so, in Jesus' day, there were many people who came to hear what Jesus had to say. But you know one thing about the Lord, if you read the Bible clearly, people who come to him is one thing. Whoever stays with him is a different story. Does it make sense? And the Lord Jesus oftentimes use very clear teaching from his word. But you know what? A Christian hearer, when he hears God's word, he appears to come to Christ. Evidently, here there were many people who heard the word of God. Today's the same. Number two, you look at he beholdeth himself, the book of James again. He beholdeth himself in James chapter 1 and verse 24. and goeth his way. He looks at, he intensely, he listens to the message, he studies the Bible, he reads the Bible, then he goes his own way. The word goeth his own way simply has this idea. The Christian hearer makes his choice, you can start filling in, to go his own way despite the truth. A Christian hearer is one who hears God's word, but then goes his own way despite hearing what God has to say. In 1990, oh sorry, when we go to the mirror, there's no way you can hide the truth about your face. Huh? How many of you don't like how you look when you first get up and you look in the mirror? Okay, yeah. I won't mention names, but and some people say, or some people will look at the mirror, oh no, what huh? What happened huh? You know, suddenly one become two, two become four, four become six, you know, and become red and red and red, yeah. You know, when I was in Australia in 1990, February, I was there for my study, but by April, I actually contracted chickenpox, okay, as a student, and I thought I had chickenpox because there's these little things coming out. So I went to the university. There is actually a clinic, and then the clinic only had one table, about two chairs, one for the supposedly the doctor. I thought it was a doctor, you know? And then there was one medical dictionary over there and probably a few books. And so I came in. There was this lady that was there, supposed to be a resident doctor or what. And I went in. I looked at her. She looked at me and said, "I think I have chickenpox." Then I said, "Really? Let me check." She did two things. One, she looked at me. Number two, you say, "You wait, huh?" She went up to the medical dictionary. I'm not joking. She opened. "Yeah, I think you have chicken pox." I looked at her and said, "I thought you were the doctor." I didn't say that. Like, in my heart, I was saying, "How come you have to check the medical dictionary and then confirm I am?" Chicken pox. But true enough, I had chicken pox for 1 week. You know, then when, every time we look at the, you know, in chicken pox, you must be careful not to dig out some of the dry things, right? Because otherwise, you have a crater after that, like a hole. Right? Does it make sense? For chicken pox, you cannot dig it, you have to let it drop by yourself. And so when you look at it, it's just awful. You know, especially some people who have chicken pox say, don't come and see me, don't come and see me, because it's like, you know, everywhere. Quite bad. Pimples, okay. Do you just see that your face has pimples and say, "Well, I've got pimples," and you just walk away? Some people will. Let's be honest. I've come to the place whereby I know some people is just botak. Just got pimples on the face, so what? Don't care. You know, some pimples can be as white, you know, like little snowflakes. All over. They just don't care. But when you look at it, there's this story about this guy who had mayonnaise, okay? He was squeezing mayonnaise, not mayonnaise. He was really doing this, keeping in a bottle. So someone thought it was mayonnaise, but it is gross. When you look in the mirror and you have your whole face full of this white stuff, you want to do something about it. You know, we can say that it's dumb, you know. If you know that something is wrong with your face, what do? Do something about it, right? But you know what? That's exactly what the Christian hearer does. He does not obey God's word and just choose to go his own way. Do you know there are people? Do you know what the Bible says the end of such people are? The Bible says there's an end. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. If God says this is what you need to do, a Christian hearer says, "Yes, I know," and just goes straight on. Because the Bible says he beholdeth himself and straightway goeth his own way. He goeth his, notice, own way. I know this is what God says. I'm doing it my way. That's a Christian hearer. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I oftentimes use the illustration of a fool. I always tell my children, you know, a wise man will hear and will do. A fool will hear and don't do. And over time, our foolishness actually becomes, we become fools. No, some of us may go our own way, but you know what the Bible says? We are headed towards destruction. We need to be very careful. Young people, as you grow up in your life, you know why your parents want you to come to church? You will never hear this in your schools. Agree? You will never hear this. Why? Because the world is interested in going a particular way. But no, when you come here, children, young people, as you grow up, even parents, when you come to church, God has His way. It's a choice we have to make. A Christian hearer will hear the truth, but don't want to follow. And the Bible says, the third point in under a Christian hearer, he will look, he will read the Bible, he will go his own way, and he will straightway forget what manner of man he was. Straightway means immediately, forget means put out of his mind. He immediately will forget what kind of person he was. Example, if a person is stealing, God says, thou shalt not steal, he will look at it, yeah, I know thou shalt not steal. But the moment he steps out of church, the moment he stops and closes his Bible, he forgot that he stole something. He thought it was okay. He will just forget about it. Okay? This is the Christian hearer whose Christian life is not a priority. Because if it's a priority, you will put focus on that. I'm going to put someone on the spot here, okay? Sister Jamie, do you know, tell me Brother Desmond's handphone number. 965-3955. Okay. Can you tell me Brother Desmond's number? 965-3955. You just listen for her, like, all the three memory, yeah, okay. Well, okay. No, I had this, okay. Yeah, let's see. Do you know my number? You know why we have graduated to just searching, right? The handphone, just search. You know why she can remember the handphone? I used this many, many years ago. I appreciate it in 1995. It's interesting. You always remember things that are important to you. That's when that should encourage your heart. Amen? We always remember. I'm not going to put other husbands on the spot here. We always remember things or put priority on things that are important to us. Now let's apply that to our life. A Christian hearer doesn't consider the Word of God important to him. That's why when he leaves, the hearing of God's Word, I've done my duty, it's over. I don't have to follow through. That's a Christian hearer. A Christian hearer is one whose Christian life is not a priority. Jacob, what was the message I preached last Sunday? Oh, sorry. Can you remember? Anyone else? What was the message I preached last Sunday? Sorry? Okay. What are 3 points? No, you must go for that. I
think next week people don't want to come to church anymore.
Because it's divine authority, because it's divine prescription for change, and because God has a divine purpose in our lives. How many of you will actually say, well, yeah, Brother Johnny, it is true. Sometimes I forget the message from last week. You know what? In Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. The word depart out of thy mouth means to be forgotten. You don't talk about it anymore. That's the meaning of depart out of your mouth. In other words, God expected Joshua, when you hear God's word, to talk about it all the time. And that's why when we come together in Christian fellowship, so-called, can I encourage you? Let's not just talk about the latest applications and the latest what angry birds or angry ducks or angry chickens or what. Let's not just talk about that. Let's talk about, hey, Brother Desmond talk about. What did Brother Desmond teach yesterday? New things? Now, what was he talking about yesterday? Can you remember? I won't put you on the spot. But can you remember what Brother Desmond taught in the youth? If we cannot remember, then my Brother Desmond will teach you again this Sunday, no? Okay? Is it a priority? The Bible says a Christian hearer is one who hears, but he straight away immediately forget what kind of person he was. Alright? If your Christian life has been unchanged for a long time, it could be that something else has taken over the priority in your life. Christian, is it possible that something else has taken over the priority? I was reading this is interesting. There was this, 100 years ago, there was this pastor who shared this. He said there was one time on the Mississippi River, this is an American illustration, okay? On the Mississippi River, it's pretty long. There were two ships that were going, carrying cargo, not cargo, just things that they had to bring from one point to another point, okay? New Orleans was the destination, all right? So I'm not too sure about the American setting. If you ask my son, he probably can tell you, or some people who have been to America. With the Mississippi River, these two boats were just going side by side. After a while, the sailors, you know, begin to talk bad about the other person, and this person show back again. Then after a while, they, wow, you think you're so fast. And then they begin to compete with one another, see who will reach there first. And so in order to make the engine go faster, what must you do? You must add fuel, right? And so they put in all the coal there because they want to go faster and faster and faster. After one boat was falling behind, so they have not enough fuel. So what they do? They took their cargo that they had and threw it in because they wanted to win the race. Because they were angry. You know? That's what pride does to us, right? So I'm going to show you. So he took the cargo and threw it. And so, of course, they went. And the other one, who are you thinking so fast? Huh? Also, they threw the cargo in and started to burn. You know what? They ended up, this guy, the first one who put in the fuel, their boat, as they were going down the Mississippi, with the cargo that they had. They were supposed to bring the cargo to the other side. But because of the wanting to win the race, they took the cargo and threw it into the fire. They won the race at the end. But they had no cargo. The pastor made this point. God has entrusted cargo to us. Parents, God entrusted your children to you. Husband, God has entrusted your wife to you. And vice versa. God has entrusted priorities that are more important to you. In the name of whatever race that you are running and wanting to win, are you throwing those precious cargo into the fire? And at the end of the race, thinking you have won, only to see your children and whatever things that you stand for, even your Christian faith, destroyed. What does it profit a man if she gained the whole world and lost his own soul? Jesus said that. What's the point of getting all the things in this world? I'm not saying don't work, you know. That would be against the Bible. Because God says, if a man doesn't work, he don't eat. So we have to work. That's a duty given to us by God. But is it becoming so much of a priority, the money and the things in this world, the society, that we, in order to catch up, it's interesting, no one will ever dream of catching up with Bible reading. But they'll catch up with everything else. You know why? Because a Christian hearer, Bible reading is not a priority. To God, it is. It's amazing the amount of time the Lord Jesus wants us to. John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. What is your priority in your life? Can I say this? Your Christian life and your life is more precious than the few dollars that you're going to earn. Your time is so much more precious to serve God compared to what you can enjoy. Now I always tell people say, "Well, you need to take a break." You know, I have one, in my mind. I believe there's one vacation I'm looking forward to, because the vacation will last me for all eternity when I die. All right, Christians, we gotta work. What is day? Night cometh, and no man can work. There's no time. Yes, we do need to take rest, but you know, we need to take rest so that we can get back into the fight for the Lord. What is your priority? What is the priority in your life? There was this couple who got married, and after their sixth anniversary, this Angie and David, these two guys, the couple's home was burned down to the ground. As Angie was, Angie was a lady, the first thing they did when they were allowed to go back was to search for photos. That was Angie's first priority. You know, when after the sixth anniversary, wedding anniversary, the entire house burnt down, and when all the fire department had put out the fire, the first thing Angie went in was to look for the photos. You know what the husband doing? The husband went in. He was looking through the love letters that Angie has wrote to him. You know what Angie said in the end? You know, after seeing what her husband was looking for, she realized, so what, the house burned down. It still remained with me. What is the most important? Our relationship. Can I say this? Everything else can burn down. I always tell my children, we can sleep on the street as long as we have God and have each other. And by the way, having God doesn't mean just have God. What were you doing for Him? It must be a priority. Is it a priority in your life? Is it a priority in your life? He's a Christian going on. He said he straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was, because he's a Christian who probably has no desire to change because he sees no need to change. So what if I'm like that? Just walk off and do what I want. That's the Christian hearer. Let me ask you a question. Are these characteristics of you? Oh, I've heard the Bible many times. Or there may be other reasons why. But you know, is there any reasons not to change for the glory of God? Is there any reasons why we cannot serve God? Number two, let's look at verse 25. The Christian doer. We talk about Christian hearer, not the Christian doer. The Bible says in verse 25, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed indeed." Now, there are a few characteristics of the Christian doer. Number one, a Christian doer looketh into the perfect law of liberty. That means the Christian doer inspects his life carefully. He inspects his life carefully because the word looketh have the idea of stooping down to inspect something. Which means that if something dropped, sometimes when we do certain things, we find something on the floor and say, "Hey, why is that?" And then we will start to push things away. We will say, "Hey, I think this one, I must look at the number. Is it real?" And we begin to look intently. The idea of looking down, looketh, means that I stoop down to find something to look. Okay? That's the meaning of look. A Christian doer is one who inspects his life carefully. Like King David, he will say, "Oh Lord, search me, O Lord, and know my heart." A Christian doer constantly will check himself and say, "Lord, is my decision right in your eyes? Lord, am I right, going the right way?" A Christian hearer will simply say, "Well, this is the path I choose, and therefore I'm going." A Christian doer will say, "I'm going to take this path, but Lord, what's your will?" When we were deciding whether or not to, when we were deciding to actually have a new place, one of the things in my heart, even before we came here, "Lord, we need a permanent place. We need a permanent place." And so the time came whereby we are supposed to give up this place, because this place here in 1096, because our lease has ended in May 31st. Okay, and so Uncle Roland was in talks with the landlord here, and we were not too sure. So that was in May, and I was asking the Lord. Someone actually offered to buy a place for us, so I thank God for that. But Lord, looking at the places we had, it's like not very encouraging. Like, it's way out. The buses don't go there on Sundays, so it's very inconvenient. And so, but then this place came out in Woodlands 11, beside Seagate, and it was building. So I look at it, TOP, June 2013. "But God, we need to move now," And so, I didn't know. I said, "Lord, what is your will?" But a few things struck me. Number one, it is so accessible. It's only 2 bus stops from the MRT, walking distance about 7-8 minutes from the MRT. It has a direct bus from Sembawang. So those in Sembawang, you have no excuse not to come to church, okay? The bus stop stops right in front of the place. And it is would be about 3,500 square feet, which is much, much bigger than what we have today. And I was asking, Lord, and the person that wanted us to, that offered to buy, said the budget is 850,000. And I was looking to, Lord, is this a place? What do you want, Lord? I hope this will be a lesson in seeking the Lord's will, because you keep asking those questions, Lord, what if, what not? And in your mind, you're constantly, Lord, what is... And so in the end, one of the things, the price of this place is 300,000 above the budget. But you know, on that day, I think I shared before, okay, I'll keep in my... Lord, I'm just going to take the financiers through and let them decide. And God, whatever, if you decide, no way, no go, the Lord will just go back to the drawing board. We just seek your will. Your God was so good. I think the rest is history. The rest is history. Boy, at that time, can I say this? We had no place in mind after we shift. If it so happened that landlord said, sorry, we have to, you can talk to uncle, we have no place in mind. No place. And that's where God intervened again and said, okay, I'll give you another 2 years lease. Yeah, and so we've just signed it last week. We can stay here for the next 2 years until June 2013 was in God's plan. It's just that God had to put the jigsaw puzzle, God had to put it, and God put the jigsaw puzzle for us. Seeking the Lord. Well, we can panic and say, hey, we better move. But one lesson we've learned, my son Jeremiah always reminds me, God is seldom early, never late. Again? God is seldom early, never late. And we thank God for that. We need to seek the Lord. A Christian doer seeks the Lord. And he will inspect his life. He says, Lord, is my character right? When I said that to that person, was it right, Lord? If not, then I better do something about it. We will be like David. Let's turn to Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. A Christian doer will inspect his life carefully. Ezra 7:10, I told the Sunday school teachers, this is your verse. This is your verse. Fathers, this is your verse. Memorize this verse. All right? This is very important as a Sunday school teacher, as a father, as a mother, as whoever, if you're in the teaching ministry of some sort, this is your verse. Ezra 7:10. Let's read it together. Ready? 1, 2, begin. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgment. Ezra, not the small one that Felicia had, which would be a good life verse for him. Amen? I think we need to remind Chahim to get Ezra to remind him. Ezra, number one, what did he do? Prepare his heart. Preparation of the heart is so important. Prepared his heart to do what? To seek the law. You know what seeking the law? Teacher, those who are teachers, can you tell the difference between a student who really want to learn and a student who doesn't want to learn? Can you tell a difference? Can you tell a difference? I had one friend. He will always hog the teacher on. His question is like whole page. But I know he does very well in his exams because he's seeking the subject. He's doing his best. He's asking questions. I don't understand. Can I say this? If you don't understand anything about God's word, please ask. Don't just take it as face value and say, but I don't understand why I need to do this. There is no question that is very silly. God wants us to ask questions. Then we can learn, right? And that's where God wants us to learn to ask. But you know, if a person who doesn't care, doesn't ask, and then you go back, once you go back home, means go back to your bed and go back to your computer games. You know, if we do that, it means we're not interested in God. So we need to inspect our life. Ezra prepared his heart, seek the law of the Lord. In other words, he will read, he will meditate, he will think. And then after he had done it, what does he do in verse 10? He does it. He does it. He prepared his heart, he seek God's word, and he do it. And then after that, what did he do? He teach other people. You know what? Fathers, that is the example for us. Fathers, we need to have a personal time with God every day. That God, what do you want me to do as I lead my family? Lord, that important decisions in my family, Lord, you need to tell me from your word what I need to do. That's seeking the Lord. A Christian doer inspects his life carefully. But why? And he inspects his life carefully with what? With the word of God. You inspect your life carefully with the word of God. You see, why use the word of God? We oftentimes compare ourselves with our friends or say, maybe after a major exam, what do you get? 171. Wow, I got 170 on it. Hey, not so bad. Wow, no lah, you're better than me. You know, we like to compare. But in our heart, actually, you shouldn't win me. That kind of thing. And we like to compare, like IPPT. And some people get silver, some people get gold, some people get gold plus, that kind of thing. I had one friend, you know, standing broad jump is 3 meters, right? Standing broad jump? Huh? It's 3 meters, right? I had a friend who can jump 3 meters, about 320, 360 meters. And he's like kangaroo, you know, boing. And then you just write 3 meters, because that's the maximum they can go, you know. And we'll compare. I know where I'm going to compare with him, because his legs are about this long. Okay. No sense for me to compare. But you know what? Do you realize it's no sense comparing... No sense comparing ourselves with ourselves. You know why? You know, sometimes we compare, well, the person is a better Christian than me. You realize it is foolishness to compare with people. You know why? Joseph, can I borrow you for a while? Joseph is a very nice boy. He combs his hair. Okay? Let me ask you a question. What kind of... Would it be a fair comparison between me and him? Now, this is extreme. But is it a fair comparison between me and him? Okay, what do you want to compare between us? Tim, what can we compare?
Old and young.
Okay, old and young, right? But so think about that. If I'm older than him, I should have more experience than him. I should have more experience than him, right? I should be wiser than him, right? Right? I should be. Have you seen young children sometimes wiser than old people? Can you see it's unfair comparison? Okay? What else? What about muscles? Huh? What about muscles? You know, punch me here. Punch me.
Okay, thank you.
You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, comparing ourselves with ourselves is not wise. Can I say this? May ambassador not compare one another. We're all different. You have different backgrounds. You come from different countries. You may have different language. You have different muscles. You have different ambitions in life. You have different... We're all different. And some... I can do something better than you, but you can do something better than me too. Right? We're all different. So why compare with ourselves? But you know what? There's one thing we need to compare. We need to compare with God. Because God wants us to grow to become like Him. Because the more we become like Jesus, the more useful we will be to our friends, our family, and our loved ones. Does it make sense? That's why a Christian doer is one who inspects his life carefully. I'm sorry, God, I always lose my temper. Sorry, God, I always don't forgive. Sorry, God, I always punch my sister on the nose. That kind of thing. Oh, God, I need to control myself. Or whatever. Because, God, you teach me that. The Bible teach me in the book of Luke, I believe, do violence to no man and no girl. Basically. The Bible says to forgive. I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. I always punch my sister and now she's in hospital. That kind of thing. A Christian doer is one who inspects his word or inspects his life with God's word. Why does he inspect his life with the word of God? Number one, because it's the perfect standard. God's word is the perfect standard. You can just take down this point. Isaiah 8 verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. God's word is a perfect standard. God's word is the law. The word law means an established standard. The law of gravity is an established standard. The law of cause and effect. The rules of the land, these are the standard. God's law is a law, it's an established, and it's a law of liberty. The word liberty there in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 25, whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty, the word liberty means, it does not mean free to live the way we want. The word liberty means we are free to live the way we ought to. I'll give you an example. Let's say Tim works at a technical shop, something with cameras and stuff like this. The boss trusts him, I'm sure. The boss trusts you, right? Yeah, I'm sure. And so the boss comes in and says, Tim, you are free to do anything in the shop. But you're still my employee. Now, is it logical for Tim, therefore, what can I? What it means, work start 8:30, too early. I want to come at 11. Because I'm boss tell me I'm free, ma. Right? Right? Lunch 1 hour, cannot lah. You know, the coffee shop nearby only got 2 stores. Eh? That one, if I take a taxi about 15 minutes, then I got extended lunch break. Then the only thing that she will keep is the knock-off time. 5:30 means 5:30. If there's customer come, if I'm too sleepy, I will ask them to come back another day. Because I'm free to do what I want, what? You getting the drift? Just because you are free. No, if the boss trusts him and the boss says, you're free to do what you want, I'm sure Tim will take responsibility. Okay, I still have to be at 8:30. When the customers come, I make sure I can make the decisions that's important to helping the company grow. Liberty doesn't mean do what we want. In the same way, as a Christian, you have Christian liberty. It's not to do what you want, it's to do what God wants. Does that make sense? Children, especially if your parents go out and say, oh, you're free to do what you want. So you can take out the money from your dad, right? Take the money from your dad's pocket, I'll watch any show you want, and pour everything on the floor, and I'll let all your friends come in and destroy the house, right? No! With freedom comes responsibility of knowing what the person wants and doing it for him. Whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty. When God gives you freedom, he gives you freedom to live. Can I say this? The more freedom you have with regards to God's word, you know what? You're free to live as a person. The Bible says what? In the book of Galatians chapter 5, against such. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, the whole the list. Against such, there is no law. You know why there's no law? Because God has made you free. Because when you are free in Christ, you know what? There is no bondage. You're free in your spirit, in your life. And so, he inspects his life carefully with the word of God. John chapter 8, verse 32. What does Jesus say? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It makes you free. Free from the control of guilt, of sin. And do you realize if you follow God's word, you're free from financial worries as well? If you just trust God. Just give first. Give and shall be given to you. Trust in God. You know, even as a church, I thank God. We're going to have a fundraising for the renovations of the place. We're targeting $180,000. Why? And that we have 21 months to achieve that. God has given us place. God has given us 2 years to get this done. And so that we can be in this place. We have this place for, as far as I know, the Christian financiers said this, as long as you stay in the doctrine of God's word, we will not take back the place from you. You just serve God in the north. And we thank God for that. And it means that we need to trust God. I was talking to Uncle Roland, and you'll probably roll out the plan probably next week or something. We need to trust God for about $20,000 every 3 months to achieve that in 21 months. And then we're going to break it down and show. We need to learn to trust God. We need to learn to trust God. Christianity is not a religion whereby we do what we please. Because the Bible says, your bodies are the temples of the Holy Ghost. You belong to God. As a Christian, you belong to God. And we need to inspect our lives carefully with the Word of God. So this Christian inspects his life with the perfect established standard of God's law, which has the power to help us live the way God wants us to live. Now with this inspection, this dual Christian changes to mold his life after the pattern that God has set for him. In other words, last time if I used to steal, but God says, I want you to be honest, you know what you do? The Christian doer will change his life and make sure, I know I'm not supposed to steal, so Lord, I'm going to not steal because I want to follow you. And so he will purposely change his life. And the person says, hey, take that. Say, no. No. No, 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 no. Don't. Have you seen people who made a promise? Please don't tell me, please, 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 please. I promise, really. Cannot. Because you want to keep to it. But you know what, Christian? Is it a priority? A Christian doer makes it a priority to change. Makes it a priority to change. So a Christian doer inspects his life carefully. But number two, the Christian doer not only looketh carefully at himself, in the law of God, but also continueth therein. Because the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 25, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. The word continueth therein simply means you persist in a certain course of direction. Just moving in a particular direction. Why does he do that? Because the Christian life and his relationship with Christ is absolute priority to him. In fact, the word continueth therein literally means to remain beside. A true disciple of Christ will remain close to his master. A true disciple of Jesus Christ will always remain close to his master. John chapter 8, verse 31, if ye will continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Or you can say they are God's disciples, but you know what God says? You need to prove it by saying that you are always remaining next to me. Last time I was a librarian. How many of you believe I was a librarian before? See, no one of I don't look like a librarian, right? And he's right. I had the title of a librarian. You know, during times of duty, you know what I will be doing? I'll be playing basketball downstairs. I'm not joking. I didn't tell this to my family, but please don't accuse me, okay? That time was primary 3, primary 4. I remember every time that I was supposed to be a librarian on duty, I'll be playing basketball downstairs with another friend in the basketball court. Therefore, it wasn't a surprise that I only lasted 2 weeks. Because after that, the teacher said, we need to get someone else. Because a librarian is supposed to be doing what he's supposed to be doing in the library. Okay? If I'm at the library reading books and people come, that's acceptable. But you know what? I'm not even at the place of duty. Are you a Christian? You know, the Bible says a Christian will remain close to his master. Or are you playing basketball with someone else somewhere? Are you playing basketball with the world? Are you playing basketball with someone else that will lead you astray? You know, as I look back, as a Christian, I say, Lord, I wish I had more guidance in my life when I was young. I would have been in the straight and narrow earlier on. Parents, you have the opportunity to keep your child in the straight and narrow way. We need to learn to stay close to the master, because a Christian doer will remain close to his master. The Christian makes it a point to remain beside the Word of God, letting the Word of God influence every area of his life. This refers to meditation, memorization, reading, being in God's house to listen to God's Word. And then, I think God is speaking to me. And you write it down and say, oh God, when I go back, this is what I'm going to do. A Christian doer will do all he can to ensure his life is patterned after God's Word. There was someone who said this, I wish that sometimes people would be more careful to ask God with regards to the way they are going. This particular pastor said he is concerned that too often people make mistakes by blundering on. Have you known of people, once they make one mistake, they say, oh, too bad, I'm stuck, I need to keep going? It is sad. And this pastor is saying, look, when you get into a country, let's say if you go to the Philippines or whoever, and you don't know the place, what do you do? Huh? Rolando, if you go to England now, would you know what to do? If, let's say you need to go from the airport to one place, do you know what to do? What will you do? Ask for information. Huh? And yet we go through life, we don't ask for information, we just kind of, the Chinese call you chiong, you know? We just chiong, we just do what we want. And said, don't worry, at the end, I will end up. If you anyhow chiong, I can assure you, you won't end up in the place that you're supposed to end up. Does that make sense? Why is it in life that we don't ask information as we go on? When God says, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, and yet no one will actively search God. God, what do you want me to do in my life? Huh? And this pastor was very concerned. I get into a part of country where I do not know. I would ask my way almost of everybody I see, because I think there will be, I won't waste half as much time. If you try to, let's say if Brother Rolando, the Malacca experience, is it? It's an experience, again? What's the experience? What adventure? The Malacca adventure. Sister Celine and Brother Rolando, they ventured to travel from Singapore to Malacca. What an adventure they had. They asked they try to ask for directions and all that kind of thing. No money, you know, can cost for this banker to try to change money and all that kind of thing. And he's trying to get from one place to another place, and he had to ask. Because basically, although he looks like a Malay, he can't read Malay. He can't, right? Because it's Filipino. He cannot read Malay. And you go to Malaysia, guess what? All your signs, most of them are in Malay. And if you cannot, and even the people you ask directions of, they don't speak Filipino. I think it makes sense if you go to Malaysia, they will speak Bahasa Malay, Melayu, you know. And so even in communication, there's difficulty. But you know what? I need to get to Malacca. Please tell me how, you know. And of course, you need to give a little bit of coffee money along the way. But you need to ask questions. Christians, can I encourage you? Seek the Lord. Can I, pardon this expression, but don't bum around in life. And then later on, you know what we do? We blame God. God, why did you lead me? I say, God, say, you know, God in heaven, what do you mean I didn't lead you? You have four Bibles at home. You even have the I even give you free download, KJV. Huh? Don't tell me I didn't lead you. Thy word is a lamp to my feet. When was the last time you actively just said, I say, God, what do you want me to do? And then you open the Bible and let God speak to you. And this, you know who this person is? Spurgeon. He said he's concerned that Christians are just going along in life. No direction. You know what? If you have no direction in life, I can guarantee you, over time you will be lost. You will be. You will be. But the Bible says also the Christian doer, the Bible says what? In James chapter 1 verse 25, continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. A doer Christian is an active Christian for the Lord. You can give without loving, but you can love without giving. As a Christian, you need to be serving God in some way. You can't serve God without doing something for Him. You can't serve God without doing something for Him. Well, yeah, you may care for people, but you know what? God does have specific instructions. Example, what has God been asking you to do? Getting baptized? You know, that's just obedience to God. Joining the church, go witnessing. You're not going to read this, get another job because the job that you're having is hindering your service to Him. I thank God for brethren who give up their jobs to get another one so that they can spend more time with family and serve God more. We need to ask God for more trust and more faith. Can I say this? If we have followed the way the world does things, your children are going to go the same. The first generation of Christians will oftentimes be the strongest, but when there's compromise, the second generation that sees a compromise, they will work more on the compromise more than on the strength. So when this first generation passes, the second generation comes on, the second generation will often be a weaker lot of Christians. When the first generation of Christians will not make a stand, the second generation Christian will begin to lower their standard. And when that happens, dads, moms, and Bethel Baptist Church as a whole, the next generation of Christianity will become weaker. It's okay not to obey God once in a while. It's okay. My Bible tells me that Adam and Eve caused the entire world to go to hell because of one act of disobedience. We have a fresh glimpse of who God is today. Understand, God is so holy, we cannot disobey Him. We need to love Him. We need to serve Him. And by the way, if you have a job that brings you away from serving the Lord, if you have a job or you have any areas in life that takes you away from really serving God, you know who you're actually serving? Serving yourself. Because God says, no man can serve two masters. It's not a suggestion. It's what I call a maxim. It is an established law. No one can serve two masters. Who is the Lord of your life? Who is the Lord of your life? A.W. Tozer says that people who have decided to follow God have three distinct marks. Number one, they are going only one direction. Number two, they will never turn back, no matter what the problem is. And number three, they no longer have plans for their own. A person who have truly wanted to follow Christ will be looking at one direction. Number two, whatever that happens in their path, they're not going to change their mind to follow Christ. And number three, they no longer have plans for themselves. If any man will come after me, Jesus says, let him deny himself, take up the cross daily, and follow him. Who is the Lord of your life? Is it a priority to serve God? Well, yeah, but I'm serving God, Lord. But the question is, who is the Lord of your life? Who is the Lord of your life? And last point under the Christian doer, the Bible says this Christian doer will be blessed. The Bible says a faithful man shall abound with blessings. In James 1:25, whoso looketh into the law, perfect law of liberty, continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The Bible says a faithful man shall abound with blessings. As we close, in summary, the Christian hearer is one who hears God's word, is one who hears God's word but chooses to walk his own way or disobey God, and whose life is not a priority to him, and therefore he forgets everything he learns in the Christian life. You know, one of the saddest things I find in the Christian life, if we need an Ambassador Baptist Church to go through the basic doctrines of the faith again and again and again and again and again. Maybe next week we're going to have a quiz, all right, as part of our anniversary celebration. I'm going to plant questions on the basic doctrines of the faith. And next week, no one will come for anniversary. But I think you know what I'm saying. What do you believe about the second coming? What do you believe about the Bible? What do you believe about the Lord Jesus Christ? What do you believe about soul winning? What do you believe about the second coming? What do you believe your life should be before God? What is one thing to know, quite another to do. Christian, can I encourage you, be a Christian doer. Make the Christian life your priority. I can guarantee you, when you are lying in the coffin one of these days, and you look up, you can't look up anymore. The fact that you are there means you're gone. But even before that, can you look into heaven and say, God, I'm ready. I know I'm not perfect, but God, I've tried to do all that you've told me to do in my life. Or will you have to say, oh no, I haven't paid my HDB. How? The government has taken care of that. Oh no, I haven't finished my course. Will we, at our deathbed, say, I've got so many things in this world, I just cannot give up? Or would you say, Lord, I've given them up a long time ago. I'm just looking forward to seeing you. A Christian doer inspects himself carefully with God's word. He uses God's word as his standard. He continues in God's word. He's an active Christian serving God, and he is blessed. Which category are you? Are you a Christian hearer or a Christian doer? India would be a Christian nation today if every Christian would do what the Bible teaches. You know who said that? Oh, India will be a Christian nation today if all the Christians will do what the Bible says. You know what? Who said that? Mahatma Gandhi. He's in hell today. Can I challenge you? Be a Christian doer. Obey God. And you'll find his word. If you're here today and you have never trusted Christ, you know what you need to do? You need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will save your soul. And he will come into you and give you a strength for life. Life is tough, but you know what? With Jesus, we can go through it with his help. Let's bow for the prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we can hear your word. Thank you, Father, for the understanding of your word. Thank you for the Apostle James, Lord, who was so clear in telling us, be a doer of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And God, as we will be singing, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us, I pray, God, that you will minister to our hearts in a special way. With our eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around, please, I just want to ask you this question. Has God spoken to you? And you say, Brother Johnny, I've been reading the Bible for years, but I find that my life is still the same. And probably you're right. Like James said, I need to be a doer more, not just hearing God's word. Please help. Please pray for me that God will help me to take small steps. Now, when you be a doer of the word, God's not asking you to change your life overnight. He's asking you to just take small steps. Just like a little baby needs to learn to walk, he takes small steps of faith. Is it to join the church? Is it to start giving? Is it to start loving? Is it to take care of someone that you know? Is it to forgive? Is it to just take the small steps? I need to be a doer of the word. Is there anyone like that? Brother Johnny, pray for me that God will help me to be a doer. Is there anyone like that? Just pull up your hand. Amen, I see those hands. Amen, that hand too. Anyone else? I want to be a doer for Christ. Amen, that hand too. Amen. Amen, I see that hand on the side. Anyone else? Amen, I want to be a doer. Amen. What about you? Is your personal decision before God? Are you a doer? Some of you are going. Thank God. You know what? You need to continue therein. Keep on inspecting your life with God's word. Keep on making changes as He directs you in this life way that you want to do right. Anyone else? Is there anyone? Amen. I see that hand too. Amen. Just pull up your right hand. I'll pray for you. And ask if you need, I'll get someone to talk to you. Is there anyone else? All right, if you're here today, if you have never trusted Christ, you've never trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, say, Brother Johnny, I don't know. My life is just a mess and I need God to change my life. I don't know how. Is there anyone like that? You say, Brother Johnny, pray for me and get someone to show me. We're not asking for money. We're not asking you to do anything. We just want to share from God's word with you so that you can change your life by God's grace. Is there anyone like that? Let's bow for the prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the many hands that have gone up wanting to be a doer of the word. Lord, I thank you that even among the hands that have gone up, many children have put up their hands. Help them to realize, Father, it's not just a game, but Father, it's something that must happen from the heart. Lord, like Ezra in 7:10, who prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and then to teach in Israel the law. Father, I pray for everyone who has put up their hands that you will lead them through your word, lead them into your word, and help them, Father, not to compare ourselves with ourselves. Help us to compare ourselves with you, to move forward for your honor and glory. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do in Ambassador's life. And Father, if by your grace, Ambassador will always be a church that is a doer of your word. So a church that loves you, a church that loves each other, a church that loves the lost, a church that will reach out and touch someone who is hurting, a church that will extend and open up and be willing to sacrifice. So that when you come, Lord, that Ambassador will be acceptable in your sight. Father, help us to be faithful to you. And we'll thank you. I pray for every family. Be with every dad. Be with every mom. Be with every father and mother. I pray, Lord, you help the leaders of the homes to be strong in being doers of your word. Not merely externally, but also from the heart. Lord, we pray for every child that will follow the example of parents who will do right and will follow your example. I pray for a strong church. As we grow, as we do things that are right in your sight, Lord, bless us, we ask. You promise so. And God, we know the blessings will come as we obey you. We'll thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we just sing two stanzas, all right?